Hey, good morning, church family. How are we doing today? Who's glad to be in the house of God? Grateful for God working in your life and in your heart? So good to be with you. It's an honor and a privilege, really. And if you don't mind, take a moment, look at someone to your left, your right, tell them that you are glad that they are here. It will encourage them. And buy me a minute to say welcome to those of you joining us online. Thanks for making time to worship the Lord with us today. Literally from Kansas to Kenya and everywhere in between, many people joining us online as well. If you have your Bibles with you on this Mother's Day, turn to John chapter 2. And I want to just say happy Mother's Day. At Rev City, we celebrate all women on Mother's Day. And here's why, because we believe that there are many different ways that you can walk in the calling of a mom. Some of you are biological moms. Every one of you has the opportunity to be a spiritual mom. Here's what we also understand is that for some of us, Mother's Day is a real joyful occurrence. And for others of us, maybe sometimes it's a painful reminder of maybe some painful chapters or seasons in your life. Maybe a reminder of your inability to have a child or whatever. And so we celebrate all women today because every one of you is near and dear and special to the heart and the purposes of God. Someone say amen. So can we just give a hand for all the ladies in the house today? It's just a first sign of our love and our appreciation for you and the difference and the impact that you make in our lives. I got an email from Bass Pro. It said, there's still time to get mom the perfect gift. And in related news, marriage counseling is up 87% at the church the week following Mother's Day. I told Amity, I said, we'll cook for Mother's Day. And 9 pots, 2 skillets, 4 large bowls, 11 spoons, 5 measuring cups, and 1 whole row of paper towels later, Amity said, that was the best Jell-O I've ever had. Listen, moms are at the heart of God's plan. And when God wanted to write the Bible, he partnered with 40 people. When God wanted to deliver his people from bondage and slavery, he partnered with Moses and Aaron. When God wanted to deliver his people to a place of promise and provision, he partnered with Joshua and Caleb. When he wanted to preserve his people from the evil plans hatched to destroy them, he partnered with a woman named Esther. When he wanted to preach the word to a place called Nineveh, he partnered with Jonah and a big whale, right? When he wanted to bring about the plan of salvation and redemption, not to build an organization or denomination, but to rescue sons and daughters back into an eternal relationship with the good Heavenly Father, he partnered with a Jewish girl named Mary. He partnered with a mom. And he's still partnering with moms to further his purposes in the earth today. Listen, you know it's true. Dads are involved in the process of bringing about kids, but moms are committed. And God knew what he was doing when he gave the hard part to the women. If guys had to endure even a portion of what you ladies go through to bring about life into the earth, partnering with the Holy Spirit, I'm pretty sure the world would just go extinct. I mean, you know something is going to be challenging when it starts with something called labor, right? And motherhood, perhaps no role in life is so aligned with the heart and the nature of Christ. Selfless, sacrificial servanthood. God partners with moms. You know, the womb is a sacred place. God is working there. Psalm 139:13 says, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Jeremiah 1:5 says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. The womb is a sacred place. Listen, there may be accidental pregnancies, but there are no accidental babies. And every baby is established by God with a purpose and a plan, created on purpose in the very image of God. God is still partnering with moms to further his purposes. So let's pray, and then we'll dig into John chapter 2, one of my favorite passages that illustrates the importance of a mom in our lives and actually illustrates the importance of Jesus's mom in his life and ministry. So let's ask the Lord to speak to us like only he could do, uniquely and specifically and intentionally to every situation, every circumstance. He knows your name. He knows your story. He knows your challenges. He knows the opportunities that lie before you and maybe the associated opposition. And as much as I care over those things today and am going to do my best to bring the word in a way that encourages you and strengthens you, God cares even more. So let's pray. Let's invite him. I'll pray corporately right where you sit today. Man of God, would you pray and invite the Lord, invite his Holy Spirit to speak to you right where you sit today. Mom, woman of God, Would you invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to you, to strengthen you? Lord, that's our prayer, God, today. We do not take it for granted. Well, maybe sometimes we do, but today we make a decision to say we will not take for granted the opportunity to be in your presence with your people and now to hear your promises which come from your word, Lord. We ask you to speak to us, Lord. We ask you to strengthen us, Lord. We ask you to help us today, God. Anyone who's here or joining us online who's weak or weary or struggling in any area of their life, Lord, our hearts cry, our hearts prayers, Lord, today is that you would come and that you would bring healing, that you would bring hope, that you would bring freedom, that you would bring strength, that you would bring comfort, that you would bring courage, God, that you would bring fresh faith for the hope and the future that every precious person within the sound of my voice has today. And we thank you, God, in advance for what you're going to do. Lord, we're here to do more than have church. We're here to hear from you, God. We're here to receive from you. Our hearts are open, Lord. Our spiritual eyes and ears are alert and listening, God, for what you desire to do, what you desire to remind us of, or what you desire to reveal to us in a new or fresh way today from the power of the Holy Spirit through the promises found in your word. In Jesus' mighty, holy, powerful name, come on, if you receive any or all of that for yourself, give the Lord a big amen. All right, John chapter 2, verse 1 says this: on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus was also invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." And his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. And when the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first. And when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." And this, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Quite a story, huh? So Jesus honored his mom, even when it didn't line up with his preference or plan. Jesus honored his mom. Did you know that honor your father and your mother is important enough to God? It made his top 10 list right alongside thou shalt not murder. And so honoring your father and your mother, the Bible says it's the first commandment with a promise, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. He says, honor your father and your mother, that it will go well with you and you may enjoy a long life on earth. So Jesus honored his mom even when it did not line up with his plans or with his presumption about how God was going to work in his life. And let me just encourage you, Jesus had imperfect parents and yet he still chose to honor them. Do you remember in Luke chapter 2? Well, let me just read it to you. It says in verse 43, after the celebration was over, Jesus and Mary and Joseph had come to a celebration, a Passover feast in Jerusalem. And it says they started back home to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. Catch this. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple. Can you imagine being the ones who lost Jesus for 3 days? And you know the rest of the story. He said, "Why did you have to search? Didn't you know that I would be in my father's house doing my father's business?" And it says, then he returned to Nazareth with them, verse 51, and was obedient to them. Jesus honored and was obedient to even his imperfect parents. Number two, the miracle involved wine. And here's what it speaks to us. It's a little deep and prophetic, but it speaks to us about God's ability to do something sooner in our life than what the world's processes usually take, because wine is a process of fermentation. And Jesus instantaneously turned the water into wine. And here I'm here to tell someone today that there's some processes that you can pursue in the world. There's some prescriptions that you can take. There's some counseling and some therapy or whatever that you can get. I'm not diminishing the impact or the importance of those things. Hear me out right now. But I am here to tell you that one word from God, one moment with God, one touch from God can shift things, transform things, heal things, forgive things beyond what any process of the world can ever do. Someone ought to say amen. Verse 5, she said, do whatever he tells you. And the word of the Lord is the same for us today. What is God speaking to you? What is God calling you to? Mary didn't argue, fuss, or complain. She just said, listen and obey. And some of us today, our breakthrough is tied to the same thing. We might not like what God initially says. It may conflict with our own preference or opinion or perspective about how things are going to go. But the breakthrough is almost always tied to doing what God says. One word from God, one moment with God, from God, over your heart, over your marriage, over your future. Today, God is still moving and God is still speaking. Number three, the third thing I want to kind of extract from this story that hopefully will encourage moms, but also encourage all of us. And that's this, that the pots, you remember what it said? Did you catch that it said the pots that Jesus said go and fill were used for ritualistic ceremonies, for ceremonial washings? And so here's what it kind of speaks to us, is that Jesus came to transform. Jesus came to shift things from ritualistic religion, from judgment to joy, from religion to relationship. The same pots that were used for the religious washing and ceremonial cleansing to be made right with God and to push off the judgment of God would now be filled with wine, which represents the joy of the Holy Spirit. And the joy of the Lord, you need to hear this. Maybe a mom needs to hear this today. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I'm grateful that we have access as believers to a joy that transcends happiness that the world says is the prescription for life. There's a joy that can be found in spite of your circumstances. There's a joy that can be found and experienced in the midst of your trial, in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the doubt, in the midst of the delay, in the midst of the disappointment. The joy of the Lord, Nehemiah says, is your strength. So here's what you got to understand about that, is that the enemy's always going to come and try to steal your joy. Because if he can steal your joy, he can cause you to operate in a weakened spiritual condition. And today, maybe I'm preaching to someone who you might, if you were honest with yourself, you might realize that joy has left the premises and that you're operating in a spiritually weakened condition. And today I come to encourage you that there's a joy that can be found when you recall and you remind yourself and you commit yourself to set your heart and to set your mind and to set your eyes and to fix your faith on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. That nothing, no situation, no circumstance on this side of eternity can ever, ever, ever separate you from the power of God's love for you, expressed to you through the cross of Jesus Christ and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so today, my hope, my heart, my prayer is that as you remember, as you reflect, as you're reminded, as God reveals to you, as you hang on to, in the midst of maybe there's some real stuff that we go through in life, right? But don't forget to remember and remind yourself that Jesus paid the price and Jesus will never leave you and never forsake you. That's the source of joy. That's the place of joy that is unlike the happiness that is fleeting and circumstantial that the world has to offer. The fourth thing I want to draw out of this story, John chapter 2, that to encourage us this morning, is they said, draw some out. And here's, being a mom is a constant draw or drain and pouring out of your resources, your energy, your strength, your endurance for the good of others around you. You know, I heard a story. There was a couple, you know, who was sitting around watching television kind of late at night, and the mom looked over at the dad and said, I'm going to go to bed. And so the mom got up, and on the way to bed, she switched the laundry, wiped down the countertops, set out the kids' clothes, set out the little kids' lunches, logged online to deposit money in the older kids' lunch account, emailed the teacher, paid a bill online, fed the dog, let out the dog, brought in the cats, made the coffee, brought back in the dog, checked to see if the doors were locked, adjusted the thermostat, folded the last load of laundry, removed her makeup, washed her face, brushed her teeth, dried her hair, checked to see if the cars parked outside were locked, checked on each of the kids one last time, double-checked to see if the house doors were locked, kissed her husband on the cheek, and then went to bed. Dad decided to go to bed, and so he did. You know mom's recipe for iced coffee, right? Number one, have kids. Number two, make coffee. Number three, forget you made coffee while getting the kids out the door. Number four, find and drink your cold iced coffee. Perhaps nothing is more aligned with the sacrificial nature of Jesus than the call to mom. If you're a physical mom, you know it's true. If you're not a physical mom, a biological mom, there's an invitation for you to be a spiritual mom to someone. I promise you. I promise you, there's some kids back there that would love to have a sustained, steady presence back there speaking the word of God, discipling them, teaching them the Bible, helping them to discover a relationship with God that transcends religion, and helping them to know that they matter, that there's a purpose, that there's a plan, that there's a God. I promise you, look around this room, there's some young adults in here, and maybe there's some university students. Congratulations, by the way, to anyone who's graduating. They're not here, they're at graduation, I guess, right? If you're a biological mom, you know that it's true. It's a draw. It's a dream. If that's you today, I want to encourage you that you're not alone. In fact, I want to point to a passage in 2 Samuel 17 that outlines what I believe. It's in the Bible, it's practical advice given from a guy named Ahithophel to Absalom when Absalom is looking he's staging a coup. He's looking to destroy David, and he's receiving this demonic advice from a man named Ahithophel. And I think there's still a demonic pattern that we find in this practical advice that Ahithophel is giving to Absalom. And in verse 1 in 2 Samuel 17 is where we find it. And here's what he says. He says, "Let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight, and I will come on him while he is weary and discouraged, and throw him into a panic." Your translation might say into a terror, into fear. "And all the people who are with him will flee, and I will strike down only the king." So the enemy of our soul, of your soul, will still operate in the same demonic pattern. Let me just draw out a few things. And again, this is not to glorify the enemy. This is just, but the Apostle Paul said, we are not unaware of his schemes. So obviously he had taken time to disciple the early church to know how the enemy works. And these are some of the ways that the enemy works and comes against us. And he said, "I'll set out tonight in pursuit of David." And here's what it represents to us. The enemy will come to you and attack you in your weakest or darkest moments. And he'll come to you in your darkest moment. And here's what the enemy likes to do. He likes to take a Polaroid snapshot of one painful, regrettable moment in your life and say, "This is who you are, and this is all you'll be." Yes. And I'm telling you that if you've experience that, you really did the thing, you really thought the thing, you really said the thing, and the enemy is taking a Polaroid snapshot of that one moment, that one painful moment, that one moment of regret, and he's tried to assign those labels to you, and he's tried to say that's who you are and that's all you'll ever be. I'm telling you today that that's a lie from the enemy. And God is still writing your story. If you read this book, and I hope you do, and I hope you will, you'll see that there were countless people who made tragic mistakes. The Bible says David in Acts chapter 13 was a man after God's own heart. I appreciate that it also says it in the Old Testament, but the fact that it says it in the New Testament after the story was written, God is a redeemer, he's a forgiver, he's a restorer. And he's speaking to you today through the voice of conviction, not condemnation. And I encourage us with this a lot because it's a frequent challenge. It's a frequent strategy or scheme of the enemy. Conviction is leading you out of somewhere to a new and better life and a new and better place. Condemnation is the enemy's voice to try to keep you where you are, stuck in the shame and the guilt and the condemnation of a real mistake, a real regret, a real pain, a real sin. And today, the enemy might be coming and taking one snapshot, but I'm telling you, God sees the end from the beginning and he's writing a story. Would you open yourself to allow God to put his hand upon your hand and continue to write the story of your marriage, of your family, of your future? He is not finished with you. Someone say amen. We all experience these real weaknesses. You know, generally I encourage you to not listen to the voice of the enemy, but there is one place where I just have learned in my own life, it just helps to set me free. And that's when the enemy comes and says, "You're not enough." And I've learned to just quit fussing and arguing with him and just begin to tell him, you know, "You're right, I'm not." But praise God, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says that his grace is sufficient for me, that his power is made perfect in my weakness. Therefore, I boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So come on, who am I speaking to today who feels like You're not enough. What mom am I talking to you today? You feel like you don't measure up. You're not enough. I'm telling you today, in your own strength, you're not. But through Jesus Christ, you can do all things, including raise those kids to know and serve God, preserve and sustain that marriage that's under attack. I'm telling you today, in your weakness, Jesus is strong. In those moments where you feel weak, quit trying to do it in your own strength. Look to and lean upon the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. If it was sufficient for Paul in this moment, his grace, I promise you today, is still sufficient for you. Someone say, thank God, his grace is sufficient for me. That's a good saying. We ought to just say it again. Thank God, his grace is sufficient for me. It says, I would attack him this way so that the people will flee. And it's another strategy of the enemy still working today to try to get us isolated from one another. The heart of God is relationship. The heart of God is community. There's a relationship that you must enter into in a personal declaration and commitment. No one else can believe for you. No one else can declare for you that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. But isn't it amazing? After that personal commitment, much of the blessings that we experience in the life of faith are experienced in the context of community, right? Where two or three are gathered together, he is there. Jesus, teach us how to pray. I'll teach you how to pray. Our Father, give us, lead us. And so if we know that there's power, potential, and promise in fellowship and relationship and community, it fits right at the top of the list of those things that are going to be opposed by the enemy. The enemy is always trying to oppose the things that connect God's people to one another because there's so much that you have to offer me and there's something that God has put in me that he wants to deliver to you. Hebrews 10 verse 23 through 25 says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. It says, let us think of ways. Isn't that interesting? It says, let us think of ways. Let us be creative about this. Let us not just kind of take it as it comes. Let us not just let it happen randomly. Let us be intentional. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another. And then it says, especially now. Your translation might say, all the more as the day of his return is drawing nearer. And how many know we're a few days nearer to that day than when this was written? So if it was important then, it's going to be even more important in this day, in this age, in this hour for us to stay connected to one another. In times of cultural decay, God builds something to protect and preserve his people. In the days of Noah, he built an ark to protect and preserve his people. In these days, Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church. He's building his church. It's a place of preservation. It's a place of safety. The winds and the rains and the storms and this culture are going to come. Will you be found in what God has built to protect and preserve his people? The scheme against David was to get the people around him to flee, to isolate him so that he could take them out. You know, the Bible says that Satan goes around like a roaring lion. Here's what I've learned about roaring lions. That they attack the weak ones, or they attack the isolated ones. And they'll wait for that moment when that little baby or the weak one or the old one gets isolated from the herd, and then they'll pounce. And I'm telling you today, if you fall into any trap, whatever the enemy has used, offense, disappointment, real abuse or something that was done to you, or maybe the perception of something, if you've allowed whatever it is, the enemy's, he's creative about this one. He's creative about this one because he's so intent on bringing division, especially to the church and to the people of God. And if you found yourself in that place, or maybe there's kind of something burgeoning in your heart, kind of an offense or an attempt from the enemy to cause you to become isolated from God's people today, I want to encourage you to win that battle. Stay in the pack. Stay in the herd. Don't get picked off by the enemy. Fourth thing he said in this demonic advice to Absalom was, I would choose 12,000 men. And you remember how the scripture that we read closed? It said, I would kill only the king. Really? You're going to bring 12,000 men. You're just going after one person. Here's what it speaks to us today, is that the enemy will still try to intimidate and overwhelm you. Man, if there's one of these points that'll speak to moms, this is it right here, right? That feeling of just overwhelmed, That feeling of just, it's too big, it's too much, or it's too late. And I want to encourage you today that God is a God of rest and rhythms. Honor your father and mother was important enough that it made the top 10 along with do not steal and do not covet and do not murder. Honor the Sabbath was important enough to God that he included it in the top 10 along with do not murder. But how many of us tend to violate this? We just kind of grind it out. And God set it up so that once a week there would be at least a day, at least a moment where we would take time, where we would make time in our business. How many know you got to make time for God? You got to prioritize it. It's not going to happen by accident. But I'm telling you, there's a blessing that comes. There's a blessing that comes in your life when you prioritize. And that really is the point, right? It's priority, because sometimes we could feel overwhelmed even by good things in wrong order, right? Just good things. All the busyness of life. Come on, I mean, a lot of the blessings that we pray for bring about busyness in our life, right? You prayed for the kids, you know? You prayed for the business. You prayed for the financial growth. You prayed for the expansion. You prayed for the promotion. And now you're busy, and the enemy will come and try to cause you to feel overwhelmed. And I'm encouraging you today that Jesus wants to fill you up and refresh you today. He wants to revive you today. He wants to remind you today. He wants to call you to cast your cares and your worries, your anxieties. I love the way the Amplified Bible says 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns once and for all upon him, for he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you carefully. So back to the story in John chapter 2, it said, fill them to the brim. And today, God wants to fill you and refresh you. Jesus said, everyone who drinks this water, speaking of the things that the world has to offer, will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. And it reminds me of a passage I've preached on. There's a whole sermon in here, but I just want to touch on it today, of 1 Kings chapter 19. And here's what we find. We find the prophet Elijah, and he's just accomplished one of the greatest victories in all of his ministry. And yet now he's being chased down by one person, and he finds himself on the brink of suicide and depression. And it says in verse 4 of 1 Kings chapter 19, it says, he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. So here we see that scheme of isolation. He's gotten by himself. How many know there's a difference between getting alone with God in the wilderness and seeking God and getting alone in the wilderness with just your own thoughts? And so he's finding himself a day into the wilderness, and he came and sat under a tree, a broom tree, it says. And it says he prayed that he might die. And he said, it is enough. And he said, now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. He's just accomplished one of the greatest victories. He's just enduring a spiritual attack. And by the way, I know this subject matter is very sensitive. Let me encourage you today, if you're dealing with suicidal thoughts, I'm here to tell you today, and by the assignment of the Holy Spirit of Jesus, of God and the Spirit of Jesus Christ, to come and tell you that you matter to God, that there's a hope, that there's a plan, that there's a future that God still has for you. And I break the lies and the assignment of the enemy that says that it's not worth another day, it's not worth going on, or that the world will be better without you. I'm telling you, you matter to this church. You matter to the plans and the purposes of God. And I break that assignment over you in Jesus' mighty name. And I pray that you would discover fresh hope. I pray where there's depression or despair, you would be encouraged and filled today with fresh life and fresh faith for the future that God has for you. Someone say amen. Amen. So verse 5, it says, as he lay under and slept under that tree, it says, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and he drank, and it says he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went into in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. So you can afford to be discouraged, but you can't afford to stay discouraged. And thankfully, the prophet cried out to God. He presented that pain, that hopelessness to God. And God sent a messenger to him. And isn't it interesting that in all the powerful spiritual things that you might expect for the angel to do, I mean, did you catch what he said? It said the angel showed up and he said, eat some cake. I'm just here today to tell someone who's struggling, who's weak, who's weary, take a nap and eat some cake. And there's some other things we could do. We could pray, we can get counseling, we could whatever, but sometimes you just got to realize when you're being overwhelmed by life, it's okay to just take some time for yourself and come on, eat some carbs, people. man, carb-free bread and carb-free tortillas, what is the point? Come on. Eat some cake. Take a nap. Allow God to refresh you. Allow God to revitalize you. First Peter 5:10 says, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory. So after you've suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you and place you on a firm foundation. I asked the worship team to go ahead and come out and support. I want to just take some time to pray over and minister to the women in our house on Mother's Day. And then I'll maybe give everyone a chance to stand and receive. But if you're here, and it doesn't matter if you're not a biological mom, again, we celebrate, we appreciate, and we honor today all women. If you're a woman in the house, would you stand to your feet? And on behalf of all the men in the room, would you just allow me to say thank you? Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for all you do for this church. And would you allow me to pray a blessing over you that you would be refreshed, that you would be filled to the brim, that in the places where you have felt overwhelmed, that you would discover God's pace and God's grace. Lord, that's our hope, our heart, our prayer, Lord, over every woman today. On this Mother's Day, Lord, we honor them. And we thank you for their lives. And we pray a blessing, Lord. We pray your grace and your strength over them, Lord. For anyone who's here today and maybe they're in a difficult season, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would comfort them. We pray, Lord, that you would bring about, Lord, your solution, your hope, your answer, Lord, for whatever it is that they're up against, God. Lord, for all the ones who maybe are feeling overwhelmed by the busyness of blessing, Lord, thank you, Lord, today that you would, Lord, allow them to find your rest, Lord, in this season, your pace, Lord, and your grace, God. We bless them, Lord. We thank you for everything they do, Lord. The things that are seen, the things that are unseen. Lord, let there be a spirit of gratitude from your heart, Lord. Just rise up in their heart, Lord. Man, I just know that's oftentimes all you ladies and moms want is just a little appreciation for all the things that you do. And we just come to you today, we just say thank you. For those who maybe have been on the brink of giving up or throwing in the towel or wondering if it really matters, Lord, thank you today that you've sent me on assignment to tell them that they do matter to the plans and the purposes of God. That you are still partnering with women, you are still partnering with moms to bring about your purposes, to further your purposes in the earth. And we thank you, God, today. We bless them in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, now, would you all stand to your feet today? And before we worship one more time and dismiss, and we've got a special gift we want to put in the hand of every mom. It's a token. There's a flower we want to give you, and it's just a token. I hope it's just a reminder of how much you're treasured and how much you're loved, how much you're valued, how much you're appreciated. But before we do, would you just ask the Lord what he's speaking to you today? Just ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what are you speaking to me? What do you remind me of today? What are you revealing to me today? And then just give him some space to speak to you. Just give him the opportunity to highlight something to you and just listen. And while you're doing that, giving the Holy Spirit an opportunity to speak to you and minister to you, I want to give people who are here today, there's no time like right now to get right with God. And maybe you're here today or joining us online and you're weighed down by the weight of sin. Today is your opportunity to receive the Bible, what the Bible describes as a free gift of salvation. You don't earn it. You can't deserve it. You don't get good to get God. You invite him into right in the middle of the darkness, of the confusion, of the despair. And that's where you encounter his grace and his love and his forgiveness and a new life, a fresh start. Or maybe you're here today and you've drifted from God. You once loved him, once served him, once knew him, but for whatever reason, the cares of life, the things in this world, you've become preoccupied, maybe made some bad choices, you're far from him. And if that's you, today Jesus told a story about someone like you when he told that parable about the prodigal son. Remember that prodigal son who came to his father and said, give me what's mine. And he went and tried to do it all his own way in his own strength. And Jesus told that parable mostly so that he could frame the posture of the father towards someone who finds himself in that condition. And we know the posture of the father was eagerly longing for, looking for, and expecting, prayerfully expecting the moment, this moment for you, if this is who you are today, where that wayward one would just take one step back towards his father's house. We know it because the Bible says the father ran to the edge of the property, embraced that wayward one, welcomed him home, kissed his forehead, put a ring on his finger, put a robe on his back, said, today we must celebrate, for my wayward one, the one who was lost, has come back home. And so if that's you today, you've drifted, you're far from God for whatever reason today, that's the posture of the Father towards you today, right here, arms wide open. He's just longing for a relationship to be restored with you. And so if that's you today, you're in either one of those camps or anywhere in between, this is your moment, and here's the step that we want to ask you to take. Here's your step, and it's right now. I want to ask you, be bold. Raise your hand as high and as fast as you can towards heaven. You are not responding to a person or a preacher. You're responding to a heavenly Father. And Lord, we thank you for these hands of what this outward sign represents, Lord, an inward work that you're doing in their lives, Lord, washing them clean, making them new, making them whole, bringing them back into a relationship with you that transcends religion. Thank you, Lord, for newness of life. Lord, thank you today, Lord, for all the old things the Bible says are being washed away, passing away. Today, truly, you're becoming a new creation. If you raised your hand, you could lower it, and here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna pray this prayer, but we're gonna not ask you to pray it alone. We wanna come alongside you, support you. We're gonna pray this prayer with you today, right here, right now. It's the first of many ways that we'll come alongside you to support you in your journey with Christ, if you'll allow us to. So come on, with some amazing people, a couple of amazing people that responded today. Let's pray this prayer. Pray it with boldness today. Say, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I recognize my need for a Savior, and I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could never pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. And I give you my life, and I give you my trust. And because of Jesus, come on, say, I'll never be the same. And then can we rejoice with all of heaven for the precious people who came home? Hey, God bless you. We love you. Moms, we love you. We're thankful for you. Have a happy Mother's Day. Hey, let's worship the Lord one more time together as a church family. And then Adrian will dismiss you today. God bless you. We love you. We're praying for you.